I can put your business out there. But Armand is medium. He's a really good painter. He's a comedian, very hilarious, and a voiceover artist. And if Kristen doesn't mind me spilling her business, so is Kristen. So
once upon a time.
I do a little something, something. But so they have that in common. So without further ado, here's Armand. And I have a question to kind of start you off.
Okay.
What was your very first paranormal experience?
That goes back a ways. So my first real paranormal experience was when I was a kid. I was probably six. And I had had recurring dreams about a guy sitting on my windowsill in my room. And he was always beckoning me to come towards the windowsill. And to frame it, I don't know if you've ever watched the Smurfs before, but you know Gargamel, the guy with the cat that always wanted to find the village and was hated the Smurfs for no real reason. He just didn't like them. That's what the guy looked like, but as a real person, like just bald guy, kind of gangly. Yeah, a little scary. Kristen's face is saying that.
Yeah.
So I used to have this dream, and every time I would have it, I would get closer and closer. And you sit in sort of side saddling the windowsill, and one leg was out, one leg was in. And concurrently to this, my mom got really sick. She got like pneumonia level sick. And it just kept getting worse, and it went on for a couple of weeks. And I remember being really worried about her. And that combined with being really young and being really afraid of the dream, things, you know, as little kids do, just kind of came out. And I remember telling my grandmother about the dream, and she reacted to it in a way that also kind of scared me. She would say things that I didn't totally understand at the time about how I should, I can't go near this person. And if I keep having the dream, to tell her. So I did. And while my mom was sick, I remember waking up one night to go to the bathroom, and across the hall from the bathroom was my mom's bedroom. And my dad at the time was working third shift, so he wasn't home while we were asleep. And I remember going and seeing my grandmother in my mom's room, looking up over her bed. And there was sort of like a black, it looked like a cloud. And it was about a foot down from the ceiling. And she was saying something in Spanish to it. And I got freaked out, went to the bathroom, ran back to my room, had the dream again. A few days go by, happened again, black mass a little bit lower. Grandmother is doing her thing again. And then one day I was going through my grandma's stuff, and I was going through some old pictures and old papers and things that she had. And I found a picture of a guy, and he looked like the guy in my dream. And it turned out that that guy was my grandfather, who I never met.
Wow. Boom.
So that wasn't my reaction.
No, I imagine not.
I was afraid, and I told her. I said, this is the guy that I see sometimes at night in my room. This is the guy that I see sometimes at night when I'm sleeping. And she said, that's your grandfather. And my mom had a really close relationship with him. I'd never met him. And she has always told me how he wanted a grandson. He'd never gotten a grandson. So when I got older, I talked to my grandmother about this experience. And she's like, yeah, he was trying to take you. That's why you're having the dream. He wanted to take you to heaven with him because he wanted to play with you. And I've talked to my mom about it, and she gets emotional because she remembers being sick, and she remembers me talking about that dream, and she remembers experiences that she had separate from that, where she dreamt not the same thing, but about my grandfather trying to take me, and then later on my brother.
Wow.
Like wanting to beckon us to go. So that was my first real experience. It lasted probably a couple of months. And the person that really brought out my, all the paranormal things that have happened to me, all the spiritual things that have happened to me, has been my grandmother, who did identify as a medium. There are stories that I'm going to share on here about things that happened with her. Just one example. I remember growing up, she lived with us my entire time with her. She was in our house. And I remember there were times where I would hear her talking at night in Spanish, because she primarily spoke Spanish. And there was times where I heard her having half of a conversation with people. And for a while, her bedroom didn't have a door. It had a curtain, like an old, like Broadway curtain. It was purple, velvety. It was weird. It looked like almost like the Count's cape from Sesame Street. So whenever you would go in and out of her room, it was like dramatic, because you'd be like sashaying through. And she had this, we had this wicker chair, and she used to have it in the corner of her room. And there were a couple times when I would go in and she would be talking to the wicker chair. There was nobody sitting there.
Okay.
And it was, and then it would stop and she'd look at me and be like, what? and I'd be like, I want like spaghetti. And then I would leave. But as, again, I got older, I would talk to her about these things, and she would say, oh, that was like your brother's godmother that was like here, and I'm trying to get her to leave and she won't leave. Or like, it's my sister who used to live with us when you were a baby, and she's still here and I want her to go. So there was a lot of times where things like that would happen. Mm-hmm. And it escalated when my brother was born, because my brother was always really bad. Like, he was always a massive pain in the ass. And it was like beyond the normal little kid stuff, to the point where my mom would get him to take tested and be like, does he have ADHD? Is he really hyper? Does he need to be on drugs? Like, do we need to like sedate him? What is with this kid? He's psychotic. And my grandmother was like, oh, there's something wrong with your brother. So I'm like 7, 8 years old. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. There's something definitely wrong with this kid. He's like 3 and he's a maniac. So I remember one day, it was like May, school was still going on. I got home and it was a bright sunny day, bright, like nice blue sky day. And I walk into the kitchen and there are Sabbath candles everywhere. And the kitchen was like pitch black, except for the candles, but the rest of the house is bright.
Wow.
And my grandmother had my brother on the table and she was doing some like cleansing thing with him because Michael's bad. And he was like 3.
Oh my gosh.
And I left. I went to my friend's house and I didn't come back until like it actually was dark.
Now, did she ever like give you some kind of indication as to what religion she practiced?
No.
Or no?
That's not true. She identified as Catholic. Like, her bedroom, she had statues of like, you know, Jesus and Mary and so on, and like saints and stuff. She had candles. She had like the typical Puerto Rican, you know, religious candles with like really ornate pictures on them. Mm-hmm. But she would like randomly, like it wasn't like Sabbath days. It wasn't specific like religious holidays. There would be like, 30, 40 candles on like the stove, just like on a tray. And they would burn until they, like, she would go out and just leave them burning. And I'm like, yeah, that's not safe. But that's what they did. And like my mom, not recently, but up until probably 2 years ago, still, we would come, my wife and I would go to my mom's house because they only live like a mile up the road. And there'd be like 40 candles just like burning in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I ask why. And she's like, that just because that's what you do. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. So like my mom and my grandmother would leave vases full of water with like prayers on the side, taped around the house. I got yelled at the Friday night for not doing that. Because like, that's why bad things are happening, because you don't have your pot of water out like we used to when you were a kid.
So really superstitious.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
After my grandmother died, I decided to take her room, which was really stupid. But she lived on the opposite end of the house, and she lived in a, it was a larger room than I had, but I didn't change anything about the room. I didn't change the dressers, just put my clothes instead of hers, closet, same deal. She had an altar on her dresser that I wish I could show a picture of. It was like a mini Vatican, but it had, she had a giant gold leaf Bible that was all in Spanish. But when you opened it, there was like rice and anointed oils. There was like the Dead Man's Hand, Aces and Eights cards with like names on a piece of paper and like little psalm prayers and stuff. And those statues freaked me the hell out. Like I was afraid. I was like 22 and I was afraid of them. Like they just freaked me out. Like religious iconography, I see the beauty in it, but I've always been kind of afraid of it. Like it's the eyes and the faces. They always seem very stern and like staring right through you. So there's almost, there's always been a fear with that. And to have that much of it in there, was just, it was overwhelming sometimes. Did I get rid of it? No, I left it there. Cause I'm a, until I moved out. Like, cause why would I do that? You know, have a giant Jesus staring at me while I'm sleeping. Like it's just, you know, why not? Mm-mm. But the relationship I had with her was very strong. She raised me. That was just like part of my growing up. Like you, weird shit happened to us in our house in Trumbull. And my grandmother was usually involved in some way. Like, I don't know if you've ever watched the movie, those Paranormal Activity movies. There's one called The Marked Ones. It's a family in LA of the Mexican family. They do the egg ritual where they're trying to, my grandmother did that to my brother when he was four.
See, the more you talk about this, the more I think of voodoo. Because voodoo is very heavily rooted in Catholicism as well. Yeah. And the egg ritual, the candles burning until they don't burn anymore, that sounds to me like voodoo, which isn't a bad thing. Voodoo is a wonderful religion. I don't have anything against voodoo. But do you think that maybe perhaps like her practicing this stuff might have influenced or opened up some sort of a gateway to what you experienced growing up and now?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My mom told me that that's what happened. Like, of course it did. Yeah. She had portals open everywhere. Like she would have spirits in and out all the time. My mom will get feelings about things and it'll stop her in her tracks. And my mom's afraid of trains and I've never known why. And she thinks that like either in a past life or something, somebody got hurt on a train and she refuses to go on trains. But my mom will, if she was on here, she would say, your grandmother was a medium and Armin, you are a medium. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just a guy from Trumbull, Connecticut. But the reality is because it still to a point scares me because I don't know what is being let in. I don't know how to close that door. I would love for some of those doors to be closed because some of them do scare the shit out of me still. My wife and I bought the house that we're living in now. It's going to be a year in October. I haven't seen really much here yet. But like our bedroom door closes by itself and Linda's convinced that it's just because the house is built sort of on a slant, but I'm not so sure. 'Cause it happens pretty quick sometimes and I'll open it and it'll be open and then I'll think certain things and then the door closes and I don't know.
Has it been that way for a while or is that more recent?
It's happening more recently. It's happened since we've moved in, but to be fair, there wasn't a door there for the first like month and a half we lived in this house. Linda literally put that door up.
Maybe the door was closed for a reason.
It's possible. But she it was a big open alcove. It was not
the tape, but I thought I saw an orb in front of you. I'm like the orb catcher, but I thought I saw an orb. I don't know if you saw that, Kristen, but I thought I saw it. If anyone saw me making faces earlier, it's because, yes, I did the egg thing, and it works.
Yeah, it. Well, my brother's still bad, but now he's just.
Yeah, nobody even bothered to ask about the brother. Like, we're all like, how did this affect you?
My brother doesn't, like, he doesn't. He doesn't believe in anything. At least I don't think so. Like, we didn't really talk. We didn't talk about this stuff growing up that much.
It's just normal.
The eye-opening thing was when, like I said earlier, my dad worked third shift, so he was home sleeping during the day a lot. My grandmother was home with him. And about 5-6 years ago, we were at my parents' house, and we were talking about our Trumbull house. And I have more things that happened that I'm going to talk about there, but my dad randomly, and he never talks about anything like this. He talks about baseball, and he talks about how he Republicans, and he talks about what he eats, and that's about it. And he goes, "Did you guys ever feel scared in the Trumbull house?" And I said, "All the time." And he goes, "I used to hear some weird shit in there."
Wow.
And I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "Just sometimes I would be there, and it was like, I knew your grandmother was home. So I figured it was her like moving around on the opposite end of the house." Cause it was a ranch. It was a long, long ranch. But after she died, I still heard and more weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like footsteps and scratching and weird smells. And I'm like, "Yeah, no shit. Where were you when I was 12? but he's not the type to talk about that kind of stuff. And it turned into a conversation. And that's one of the times my mom looked at me and said, "Well, you're a medium, so I know you went through this, but like your father, it's a big deal." My dad was a cop for 34 years, and you know, everything is what he can see in front of him. And you know, it's, so to hear him say that was eye-opening. And then my brother admitted, he was like, "Yeah, but it ended." He'd be like, "Oh, it was weird there. I wasn't a fan." And then he moves on, because I think he just is not comfortable with it. Yeah, he's just, you know, he doesn't want to revisit that part of our life. And
yeah,
you know, we shared a room for a while. And I remember he and my mom got sick at the same time. And when he was sick, my mom would sleep with him because, you know, he's a little boy. I share a room, so it's the three of us in the same room. And there was a period where my grandmother would come in, and she was doing something over the bed and talking at the great expanse above them. And it was like 3 or 4 nights, and I would lie there like with my eyes peeled, like watching this happening, not totally understand. I'm like 10 years old, freaking out, because I'm like, "Oh, here's my crazy sorcerer grandmother doing like weird whacked out shit." But obviously there's something happening, because they're sick and they're getting sicker. And it was, somebody was trying to take them. Like, it was that was the explanation I would get when I would talk to her about it. Because she didn't care that I was afraid. She's just telling me, like, she's like, "Oh yeah, your aunt Andrea that you never met is like trying to bring your mom to heaven because she's misses her." And I'm like, okay, my brother's like 5. Like, what is she doing to him? Oh, same shit. So, like, it's just, you know. So,
oh my gosh.
Do you think that kind of like conditioned you to only receive things in that particular way?
Yeah, I do. And it made it so I've been really afraid. Like, there's this isn't really a, this, I've always been really afraid of like movies about poltergeist situations, not just poltergeist, but like anything that is a force that's taking away your sense of control. So like the movie, The Exorcist, anything demonic possession, that scares the shit out of me. At 36, I'm still terrified of it. And there was, my aunt lives in Westport, and she lived across the street from Linda Blair. And we had one Thanksgiving, she was there. She was across the street. And I was scared shitless of her. And my mom was like, I'm sorry, my son's afraid of you because he's seen your movie. And, but it's like, it's not just that.
It's the idea.
It's the idea of being out of control and having something malevolent coming and wrecking havoc on your life. Like I've had conversations with Kimmy in the past. Like, that's why I've rejected a lot of these feelings. And that's why it's cathartic to have something like this and be able to talk about it. Cause when you're, you know, growing up in like the late 80s, early 90s, you couldn't talk about this shit with people. Like, people thought you were insane. Like, I remember going to see the Warrens when I was like 12 years old at like the Trumbull Library. And there was like 10 of us there. That movie's bullshit. Like, there weren't crowds of people there. Mm-hmm. There was a bunch of weirdos on like a Wednesday in October that were like, I'm going to go talk to Lorraine Warren about the fucking Amityville Horror, you know? And it's like Comic-Con now is the coolest thing in the world. Where the hell were they in 1994 when I was reading X-Men comics for sustained silent reading and getting made fun of because comics are for dorks, you know?
But my grandmother used to actually live like 2 miles away from the Amityville Horror House.
Like on Ocean Avenue or whatever?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. On Long Island.
That house still, I could talk about that all day.
Yeah. We're here to talk about you though. I'm sorry to change the subject.
No, That's fine.
But I think that's one of the reasons why we kind of started this show, me and my fan. We started this show is because we can share our experiences with other people, but also like kind of help with some of the myths that are out there about the whole spiritual world and try to bring enlightenment to that, because there are a lot of things out there that are just wrong. But hopefully people that are having these real experiences, we can bring some type of education to them to help them kind of sort through it all. Because boy, have you had a lot of experiences, and then holding on to the fear of that kind of brings it more in, because you are so open, which you already know. I mean, I've known you for so many years, and it's like, no matter where you go, these experiences still kind of follow you. Yeah. But I do feel a sense of you starting to kind of get into your power a little bit more. So I like to see that. I'm very happy about that. And I suspect it has something to do with the people around you.
Yeah, I mean, it's hearing my dad talk about it helped. Linda, you know, she's been supportive.
Guess who's on right now? And I'm totally gonna blow her spot. And we do have some questions in the chat, but Angela Katsugawa. Angela. Another person we used to work with who has experienced our ness, if you will. So hi,
she has. Hey, yeah. Ange.
So glad you're here with us.
Awesome.
Did you have a question? I'm sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. Did you have a question?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Kristen, I thought you were.
No. I was just asking about like if, you know, but having the viewpoint that he has, if his grandmother played a role in that, because, like I was super afraid of similar things when I was a kid, like the Wicked Witch of the West. That was something that I couldn't watch until I was like 15 years old, because every time she puffed out of that smoke, it was like, oh my God, everything's out of control. Not nearly to the extent that you have had experiences, but I've been sensitive ever since I was a little kid. And I saw some crazy shit happening too. So I recognize that there's a duality between, you know, all forces. Like there's a duality to everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily believe in only the positive love and light aspect of the spiritual realm, but I don't necessarily think that it takes a ritual or something to invoke, to invoke that darker side. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I tend to agree. And I've had this conversation with Kimmy before about I lived in an apartment after I moved out of my childhood home. And I stayed there for about 8 years, and I probably should have left after like two. That house, it was heavy. I changed as a person living there. My wife can tell you I'm a different person now than when she met me when I was living there. There were four people that I know of that died in that house, in this living space that I was in. It was a two-family house. I lived upstairs. The guy that I was renting from moved downstairs. His sister, his wife, and his two kids died in the house. Kimmy came over twice in 8 years. And then any other time she came by, she stayed outside. And the second time I was like, why, like, what's going on? She's like, I'm not going to that fucking house ever again. Oh, you did. I remember. that was in 2014. It was a long time ago. But in living there, I don't know. I couldn't sleep in my room a lot. Like I would be drawn to going into like the living room. And it's because the room that I chose was like the room where two of his kids died in. Mm-hmm. I would see people peering around the corners, like shadow people peering around. And it felt like children like were following me around. And it turned out that his two sons were both special needs adults who were like basically 6-7 years old mentally. So it could have been that they were playing around. It could have been they were messing with me. I don't know. But it was just a very heavy, heavy presence there. It was a heavy, heavy place. And there was a lot of sadness there. And it affected me. And I didn't know about any of it until after I'd been there for years. And then it made a lot of sense. And it didn't de-escalate over time. It just became very stressful and just very difficult to deal with.
That place was really, really heavy. I did feel bad, though, because I know we could have hung out more. But that it was like you said, no matter what time of day, whether it was like light out or dark, like I just felt this energy in that house. And it was like I told you, I remember like saying there's something in that back hallway, like the back doorway or whatever down the stairs, like there's something there. I can feel it. I can almost see it. And like, I didn't like going in that area. Like
I never used that back hallway. Like it was always dark. It was always heavy. Like I would go out of the house through the front door and I would come in, and there was no lights in the front. That was the weirdest part, but I'd rather be in like that pitch black area and go up those front steps than go through that back door that led to my car. Like it was,
some questions though that I want to, I just want to get to. So
sure.
Carol had asked, you know, what your nationality was, but Linda answered that. Thank you, Linda. And then we have some experiences that other people have, like dreams. It seems like Rob and Terry both had like issues like evolved around like dreaming or sleeping. Yeah. And that is the time when we are the most open. So right in between that dream state, you know, when you're relaxing, that is when we are wide open. So people tend to have more experiences during that time. So that makes sense. Let's see. Angela says, I believe it's all about how much you want to let in or not. And that is true. Like, that's one of the things that we talk about in this on our show is intent. But the thing about it is that so many people out there don't know that it's that simple. And I don't want to say simple as in, you know, I don't want to be condescending, but what we put out is what we get. So if we constantly have that fear, and I know because I've as kids, I think we've all kind of had that where we're so scared of the dark, we're putting out this energy. And if you're open, you're drawing that energy right back in. But for you, you had this person who lived, you had multiple people who lived in the house who had those abilities. And had there have been, you know, like the internet or, you know, more knowledge out there, those would have been the perfect people to support you and to let you know that you have the power to stop all of that. But not everybody had that information out there. So it's not, you know, their fault either. I think a lot of people struggle with these things when we're younger because we don't have that support system that says, look, stand in your power and don't put that fear out there and you can make them, you know, go away. So it's, I'm just really glad that, you know, there's more resources now.
Oh, it's so much better. And it's like, I remember going back to the sleep thing. It's like, I've never been able to sleep well, even when I remember when I was in first and second grade, not being able to sleep. And I never knew why. I would lie there just frustrated. And it was stress? Yeah. But from that, but it was just different. I remember like knowing at like 8 years old, if I drank Benadryl, I would probably fall asleep. So I would take it like every night. Wow. Just so I could, you know, and it was like, my house was like a super highway growing up for that kind of going into the garage and hearing voices, going down to the basement, no matter how bright a light we put on one end of the basement, it was always almost pitch black. We hated going down there. There was times when I didn't want to look behind me, and it wasn't just like, oh, it's like a freaky, creepy Halloween-y crap. It was like, there's something, if I turn around now, I'm not going to want to see what I'm going to see. And I remember one day I was going down the steps to go into the basement, because that's how we would usually go down to go to the backyard. And I looked, and there was like somebody had written hello along the back slat. And none of us were tall enough to do that. Like it was just, and it was weird, just weird, like writing. It wasn't my parents didn't do that. And it just freaked me the hell out. And then I went into the garage one day and up along the backside of the chimney and the fireplace in the living room, there's marks that looked like claw marks up towards the top. There was another hello up there, but it was like 9-10 feet up in the air. So wow. It's like, you know, none of us did that. Like my brother was, you know, 6 years old. He didn't do that. There was one day when I was going to put the recycle in the garage and somebody whispered, hey, but there's nobody there. Like, but
that
it's not
the worst thing that that happened. It's like, it's so,
and I try to,
it's not scary, but it's, you know, you get shook in the moment.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I'm like, who's there? Like, what's that? Who is it? And there's nobody there. Like, it's not kids in the neighborhood, like freaking it was something else. And I'm just, and that happened more than once. And then I took, like I said, I took my grandmother's room, and that room is the last room before you get to the garage. So I used to hear shit all the time. And it's just, that house was heavy too. It's just, it was really hard to navigate. And I remember, it was, like I said before, a ranch house. And the hallway leading from the living room, front door, dining room area to all the bedrooms and the bathrooms was this long hallway. And there was a light switch on either side. And I remember there was one on this end and there was one on the far end. But there was still, you had to get past my parents' room to get into my and my brother, our room, mm-hmm. all the way at the end of the hallway that you could see into from the end of the hall. And that hallway was always pitch black, no matter what time of day it was, no matter what part of the year it was. And we would try to, I remember, run and try to flip the light on and like run and see how many steps we could get down the hall in. Like less than 5 would be ideal. And then flip.
Thanks.
So yeah, but then, and then try to flip the light off, but be out of the hallway before the light turned off.
Yeah.
And it was just, the attic was there. That was that. I didn't go into that attic since like probably 1998. Like we had Christmas decorations up there. My dad, in retrospect, was probably like, fuck it, we'll just buy new ones, leave them up there. Like we didn't go up there for a decade plus just because it was so, it just was uncomfortable. And it's like, I would like to go back and like try to learn some more history about that house, see if there's something that happened. I don't know anything about it. I don't know. I've just not done it because part of me is still afraid. And I think about some of the stuff that happened. Like I remember.
Hold that thought 1 second. Carol,
yeah, sorry.
Has a question for you. No. Carol has a question for you before we jump in. Do you want to read that, Kristen?
Sure. When you decided to move, did you feel out the new home first?
No.
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 I'm about that.
I'm not smart. So I did not. I just wanted, I knew my parents were leaving that house anyway. They were moving like in about less than a year. And I didn't want, separate from spiritual, I didn't want to, moving to the house they're in now.
Okay.
I didn't want to be, no, to my Bridgeport place, to my apartment before here.
I think she was saying the house that you're in now, did you feel it out when you walked in?
Same answer. No. The house we bought this house in the height of.
How did I not teach you this morning?
I did, but like I'm still a guy at the end of the day, and like after the fourth house we missed, I was like, "Fuck this, Linda! If we get a house, great. If not, whatever." And so we saw this one, and I loved it. I really loved this house, but at the same time, I was done mentally. Like, I was tired of going to open houses and like showings, and they were like, "Hey, welcome to the house. It's sold. Get the fuck out." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool. Bye."
But so, I also think that you probably would have felt something because you are really wide open, and you always have been.
Oh, I was closed off. I'm telling you, like, I'm not trying to jump.
Yeah, but no, you're right.
I was so done. Like, I can't even emphasize it enough. I was so done house hunting. I was like, I'll live outside. And I'm not a camper. Like, camping to me is a hotel that has non 24-hour room service and no pool. Like, that's as close as I get. They do. Like, a Days Inn in like Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah, that's camping. But like, so I was not paying attention. I didn't give much. The only spot that I felt anything a little off was the basement, but it's finished basement. And it's always really, and it's still always really cold, regardless of whether the air conditioning is on. But I don't feel unsafe. And I don't feel like there's something malevolent or bad. I just feel like it's a cold spot in the house. But Linda, it's nothing bad.
Linda wants you to talk about the house on Holly Lane.
The house on Holly Lane was awful. That was a house we went to go look at. And that house, I have never been so uncomfortable at a place I didn't live in my entire life. I would have been more comfortable in the shower at the Bates Motel. That house was like, we walked into that house and it was like, time stood still, but there was no furniture. Like they still had like their family photo from Rockefeller Center. And it was, everybody was looking right at you in the picture. It was very strange. Kristen, and we walked through.
Is that not the same experience that I had? I told a story about going into this house and there's like this freaking picture that like stares right into your soul. And it goes, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh my God, I gotta get the hell out of this house. Like, I don't even need to see anymore. Like,
but it was like a really waspy family, like at the Christmas tree in Rockefeller Plaza. They're wearing their North Faces and they're like, like really excited about being in New York and stealing your soul. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so we're walking through and there was a smell. It smelled like they had been smoking in the house since 1977 and just closed every door and window and never opened them. The air was heavy. Mm-hmm. And as we walked through the house, you can tell that they had started to do some kind of work to it and then either ran out of money or somebody passed away and then just said, we're going to get rid of it. They didn't want to deal with it. So as you walk through, the house got less finished. And then it got to a point where there were rooms that didn't have complete walls, floors were, you know, had holes in them. And it was just, it was very uncomfortable. I could not get out of there fast enough. And the worst part of it is the outside was, it was all brown. Like it was just brown weathered wood that wasn't like stylish. It was just, it has rained for the last 2 years and they never treated this wood. It was a sad looking house. And there was a weird smell outside.
That kind of sounds like they started doing some type of construction or something, and maybe things happen. That tends to happen a lot.
Maybe.
Where people maybe. Are doing construction, and then there starts to be, you know, some activity, and then instead of, you know, finishing the project, they're like, let's get the hell out of here.
It could be. But it was horrible. And it was to the point where, I mean, the outside was bad enough, but the pictures didn't look much better when you looked at them online. And I was like, why did you take us to this? Like, you could have vetted it for a minute. And it's like, you would have seen it and been like, no, there was a lot of murders here. Like, let's go. Let's maybe go to Target. And so, like, but I remember, and again, Linda does not talk about this kind of stuff often. And she goes, the first thing she said when we got in the car was that was a very heavy presence in that house. Mm-hmm. You felt sad, and it hadn't even gotten like creepy looking yet. Mm-hmm. But you walked in and I'm like, somebody died in here. There was like bad vibes in this house. Like, I don't think that the marriage that took place that existed in this home was a happy one. Mm-hmm. You just felt bad. And it affected me for a little bit after. I don't think anything followed me or attached, but it was very, it was uncomfortable. And it was the best word I could come up with is sad. It was just a very sad home. And it sold. And I feel bad for whoever bought it, because I think that they walked into, probably knowing it or not, they've walked into, I think, a very bad situation, just historically, whatever happened there, it was heavy.
Maybe they were just as sad and miserable as the energy of the
house. It's possible.
We sometimes, because we're so open and we can feel these things around us, as if it's like, how the hell do you not? And even if Linda has never had any experiences, when you start living with somebody who is open, they start having experiences and being a little more sensitive to things. In my situation, I've noticed that a lot with other people. So there are some times where you can go into a place and you can feel this energy and you're like, what the fuck? Like, let me get the hell out of here. And then somebody else will walk in and it's fine, because those people are completely closed off. They don't believe in any of this stuff, so they're not affected. But I say, if you feel something, haul tail, or whatever the expression is. Do you have any questions, our co-host out there, for Armin? Are there any questions that you have, any experiences? Lisa from Forza 5 says hi, Armin.
Hi, Lisa.
I just have to say thank you, Armin, for validating pretty much every single childhood experience that was significant to me, because I have had something similar previously, like with the hallway, having to run down it, all these weird things, people saying things, specifically insomnia. It hasn't been until we started this show that I've been able to openly talk to my doctor, who is a friend of mine on Facebook, and she's watched the show before. And she asked me, like, do you think that this is why you have such a hard time sleeping at night? And I said, absolutely. You are the first person that I've willingly told about this who's in the healthcare profession. The person that I previously told decided to put me on antipsychotics, and that ended horribly.
That's horrible. And that's the thing that we all face. You know, my son is facing that now. It's like, and I told him, be very careful what you say around those who don't believe in this, because they will think that we're crazy, and we're not. But try going to a doctor or any professional and telling them this, and we are crazy, we're you know, we need to be on drugs and all that type of stuff. And it's like, that's why I'm so grateful to Facebook and, you know, all the community of light workers and in between that are finally coming together to say, hey, we have gone through the same exact thing. We can support you if your family doesn't support you. I didn't have that support, you know, we're here. And so that's what we love about our show, is that we have these great people, whether they have abilities or not, they support us. And, you know, we can be open about anything on the show. Mm-hmm. Let me see if there's any questions for you.
It is nice to have, because I mean, the insomnia thing was, it just sucks. And it's like, to be in like fourth grade.
I can't even imagine as a kid. I used to sleep kind of well, but I was very, very afraid of the dark because I would see things in the hallway. And it was like, well, I want the door open because I don't want to be completely in the dark. But yet when I keep the door open, there's some, not something, there are some people in the hallway staring at me. So it's like, do I go with what's in the dark and just figure it out on my own? Or do I keep the hallway light door open so that I can like have some light, but I know that they're staring at me? So it was like, shit.
I just want to be clear though, like before we move on from this topic, that there is a difference between people who need to take antipsychotics or a diagnosed condition, as opposed to people who hear spiritual voices and echoes. I mean, if you're diagnosed with something that requires you to take antipsychotics, please take your medication. Please take your medication until you're able to speak with someone else to get a second, third, fourth, fifth opinion, however many you need to make sure that whatever you are doing is right for you and exactly in line with what you need.
That's all I'm saying. Absolutely. I have my anxiety meds because I need them. That's separate from the mediumship, but you know, just obviously talk to a doctor. And I love the fact that you have a doctor that understands. Like
she does, and she's amazing.
Of them who are open, I just think that there would be so many people like us who would feel like they're really being heard and taken care of. I do have a quick question because we actually only have 6 minutes left. So this went by really fast. Oh, wow. Thank everybody that's here watching with us and all of Armin's friends out there and fans. I wanted to ask you, because so many people, you know, we see the movies and when you see a spirit, you know, they're like smack dab right in your face and it's looking, you know, like they're flesh and blood. How do you see spirit and how do they communicate with you? Like, how are you seeing them? Are you hearing them? Like, how do you experience them?
I hear them. They sound like voices, like any other voice you'd hear. They're usually very clear. As far as seeing though, it's usually, you know, side of the eye glances, shadow people. I remember,
eyes and not like your third eye or both.
Yeah. No, but my physical eyes. Yeah. No, it's not third eyes. Yeah. It's not metaphysical. It's like physical. I remember when I was like 10, I had my own room and it was, I went to bed really early one night, and this is something sticks with me. And I remember I was really afraid because for whatever reason, my parents, they would always read to me, and then they would want either my dad or my mom would stay with me till I fell asleep. And that night they couldn't for some reason. I don't remember what it was, but my mom told me to make, to put out a ghost box. And it was the case that it was called Brain Quest. It was the flashcards, and you would ask like questions about like geography or science or whatever. And it was like long cards that were on like one of those like binder rings, and you could flip the cards. And so I took them out of the box, and I wrote like ghost box, and I put it on the side table, and I had a nightlight, and I remember laying in bed and seeing what looked like cigarette smoke floating into the ghost box.
Wow.
And it was like all night long. And that still scares the shit out of me, because it's like, it was constant, and it was coming from all over the place. And it was just, it looked like wispy cigarette lingering smoke. Mm-hmm. And it was all pointed and going for it, like from all different directions and stuff.
Wow.
And I that didn't last long. I didn't put the box back. I threw it out. I threw it in the garbage.
I don't know. And do you feel any energy from Armin? I feel like, and this is just my opinion, I feel like there's a reason why, even when you tried your hardest to not be open to this, that like you're just wide open. And I just feel like there's a plan for you to help. But obviously that's your call. But do you feel anything at all, Kristen, like just listening to his story? Or because I know you tend to do more of like the locations and stuff.
Yeah. What I definitely feel from Armand is it's more of like a conditioning where it wasn't necessarily something that was like, I don't know, innate, where he was experiencing it from a very early age, but what he was exposed to afforded him that openness that he experienced. I don't know. Maybe I'm completely off base, Armand,
No, that makes sense though, because for those of us who might live in a house where we're the only people experiencing those things, and you know, you have parents that are saying, oh, you're, you know, it's your imagination, after a while you start to close yourself off. But when you're living in a house where you have people
encouraging that,
then you know that this is, you know, it's not something you're making up.
And you have validation from other people who are living in that house going, well, of course this happened to you because Dios mío, you know, like what?
Yeah. I mean, that I would get, I mean, to this day, like my mom a week ago was getting on my case about not embracing it. And it's really because part of me, it still scares me. And I've got a, you know, Lynn and I have a little guy here, and I don't want, I'd be lying if I said I would want him to experience it. No. I don't. Like growing up it wasn't fun. And going back to the movie analogy, it was never that dramatic scary, but it wasn't fun. Like it wasn't a good time to like be lying there and you hear like your name being called.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't tell if you're imagining it. Like the thing that does happen here, sorry, Lynn, is I will hear bangs and like something dropped.
And I get the feeling nobody else. You hear a lot of shuffling around too.
Like, yeah. That kind of stuff. Like somebody drawing the curtains, like somebody wearing MC Hammer pants.
Yeah.
And it's like brushing against each other.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing, the most, like it happened last night. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I hear what sounds like a mini explosion. I'm like, oh my God, our AC unit blew up back in the backyard and it's nothing. It's just, and I'm, well, it's not that $10,000 problem. It's something else.
And there's also like that exploding ear syndrome thing that people legitimately have, like as they're trying to fall asleep, where they hear a very loud bang.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's usually when I'm sleeping, or sometimes when I'm, but sometimes it'll happen like when I'm just up and out and about, like I'll be at work and then all of a sudden hear, oh my God, somebody like shot the side of the building. And no, you just heard something.
Goodbye like forever. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just,
like Rob said, scary. You hear Rob also just made a comment that, you know, sometimes, you know, when he was younger, he would hear his name called and then for a while it stopped. And it's true. Like even when we were working together, I swear somebody called my name, and that place has some energy. We both know the job we used to work at had some energy. But I would hear my name being called from like far back, and I look and there's nobody calling my name. So
yeah.
I mean, I've had people, like it sounded like someone was standing right near my ear and attempting to whisper, but going, Kitty. And I'm like, what the
fuck?
Like wakes you right out of your sleep.
Yeah.
But it is actually after 8 o'clock Eastern. So it's 8:02. So we have actually No, my God, we love this. And we will definitely have you on again. So we are very, very grateful to Armand, who has stopped by to share a little bit of his life with us.
Hi, Linda. So Armand, I hear that you do voices. Why don't we close down the show with a couple of voices?
Yes! Sorry, I got excited.
Okay, I'll do a couple of easy ones. I'll do Peter Griffin and I don't know, maybe Squidward. I don't know.
Bane. Sorry.
Who?
Bane. What? So good.
Okay, I can do Bane.
Bane.
Thank you for having me on the show. It was a great time tonight, revisiting my childhood horrors. Thank you.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun sitting here talking about all the crap that scared me. But me and Lynn, we got to go to the store, buy some donuts and maybe some Pawtucket Pat sale. Good. Thanks, Kimmy. Bye.
Peter. I can tell it's the first time that's happened to you.
It is.
Squidward. Or SpongeBob.
Let me see. Let me try. Hold on. I got to drink. I got to take a drink.
Okay.
There was nothing.
No, there was a little.
You do a good Trump? You do Trump?
That was Linda.
I know it was particularly
Trump. Growing up, I had the best dreams. They were great dreams. This guy, he sat on my windowsill, said, come here. I didn't go over. I wasn't going to go over that wall. We sat there, and he was scared out of my mind. So scared. Never been more scared. Terrified. It was huge.
So, you know what I have to say to you, Trump? I say, eat my shorts, man.
That was pretty good.
Willie, she just did Bart Simpson. Ah.
That's like the only two voices that I got. Peter and eat my shorts, man. Nancy Cartwright is amazing.
She is. She has like half the voices on that show.
Yes.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. They have like five people.
One more.
Ah, this is a good time.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you, Archie,
for I can't even pretend to do Patrick.
SpongeBob, you've been going on. It's 8:05. We have to leave. It's over. Just let it go. Mr. Squidward, thank you for coming on. We'll see you next time.
There's a pineapple under the sea. No, I can't even pretend. I can't do guy voices. Anyway, thank you so very much. I'm sorry, what were you, but I what?
You did Bart Simpson. He's a guy.
Well, that's a teenage boy, man. That's not quite the same as an actual man. Do you know what I mean? It's like a man.
I think I feel a presence right now.
I see a presence. It's happening behind you in a red shirt.
Come on, Julio. Say hi.
Hi.
This is my stepson, Julio.
Hi, Julio. Nice to meet you.
So wave.
Hi. I've seen so many pictures of you. You're so cute.
He doesn't have pants on. He doesn't wear pants at home. Oh. Just underwear.
This is not a family show, so that's
it's just underwear and a t-shirt and that's it.
Okay.
I'm gonna end the stream now. Thank you guys so very much for coming. Thank you, Armand, for being here. Yes,
thank you. It was great to be here.